Good morning.
Good morning.
Everybody's smiling so big and pretty. I was laughing with Gina and Joy this morning. I was back there talking about mother-in-laws. And I said to Gina, I said, do you know what the difference is between a mother-in-law and an outlaw? He said, no. And I said, an outlaw is wanted. I used to say that to my mother-in-law. Now, I wasn't being mean to her. I love my mother-in-law, but she always picked on me, so I picked on her right back. And we got to talking about that, got to laughing, and I thought, you know, it sure is good to laugh, isn't it? There ain't nothing wrong. God created laughter, and I'd rather laugh than cry and be sad. And you know what? Today is a joyous day. You're in God's house. You're getting the fellowship with your Christian brothers and sisters that are around you. You should have the greatest smile on your face this morning. And there should be nothing else upon your mind but serving the one true God. And that's what I'm going to preach about today is real truth. So if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of John chapter 14 and verse 6. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of this powerful word. And God, I pray that your word will penetrate our hearts, our minds, and our lives so much, God, that we seek you first in everything, Lord. And God, your word is truth, your word is power. And as I preach your word this morning, let everything come from you through your Holy Spirit, dear God. And we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. How fitting this sermon is as we're approaching July the 4th. I hear a lot of people asking, what is going on in our country? Where are we headed? Why are things such an upheaval right now? Where do we turn for help? Where or who do we go to? And I don't know why. I don't watch the news. I don't like the news. There's a lot of negative junk on the news. But there was a conversation going on between some people in the government. And there was somebody making a point that they were saying, we can no longer look to our government for help. Well, then this kind of here really hit home. Where do we turn? We can only turn to God. And in our country today, see, we've gotten into a place right now, and we as people have gotten ourselves where we're at because so many people have chosen to shove God out of the church, out of our schools, out of our homes, out of our businesses. And when we shove God out of our lives and put Him aside, we are opening up the door for destruction. Everything that's going on around us right now is evil, and we have allowed Satan to come in, and we've allowed Satan to destroy our homes. We've allowed Satan to basically destroy our lives. And I firmly believe in Jesus' words when He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to make in this life, you've got to be rooted and your life has got to be in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. There is no other way. And you know, that man's words the other day, they're looking to the government for, you know, for guidance. The only way that we can have guidance and the only one that we can look to is God the Father. Now, God the Father, He's the one who created this world that we live in. He's the one who created every living human being. And God's sole purpose for creating us was to have fellowship with Him. Now, God gave us a free will, and God expects us to follow after Him, but He also lets us make our own choices. And sadly, too many people have turned the wrong way, and they go after this source or they go after that thing. They're trying to find contentment and satisfaction. But the only place that we're going to find true joy or find true satisfaction is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was sitting around the other day, and I don't know, sometimes, and I think every human being gets to this point. You may have had a long day, you're tired, been maybe a frustrating day, things didn't go right, and then you start looking around, and you start looking at the things that you don't have. And when you start looking at the things that you don't have, you quickly become discontented. And the more discontented we become, the more we grumble, gripe, and complain about the things that we don't have or the things we wish that we did have. Well, you have everything that you'll ever need in Jesus Christ. And if you will turn your eyes to Jesus, and if you will base your life upon what He has given you, you've got everything you'll ever need. You really do. I've said this before in this pulpit. I don't need a big house. I don't need fancy cars. I don't need to be recognized and known my name across Southern Illinois or wherever. I don't need people to know, you know, anything about me. All I need is Jesus. My life is rooted and grounded in Him. And I tell you what, this morning when I got up out of bed, I started looking at my priorities. If Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, am I living it today? Sadly, this morning, as I was thinking about some things, I was actually saying no to some of them. I have not given God everything, and I have failed God miserably, and I do every day because I'm a human being. So as I sat this morning pondering life and the things around me, I started realizing what I was looking beyond. I was looking beyond the blessings, and I was looking at other things, wishing, you know, I was wishing that I lived back home in Arkansas, wishing I was around my family, because I thought, if I could have these things, boy, I'd be happy. And you know what? The more I pondered them, I started thinking, well, I can't depend on that stuff for my happiness. And I started looking back at where I tripped up, went wrong. Well, when I was unhappy and discontented, I took my eyes off the Lord in some situations. And then I started noticing the little bit of decline. But up here, I thought I was doing all right because I'm reading my Bible, I'm praying, I'm preaching, go out and visit folks, work my job that I work, and I try to do it to the best of my ability and put my heart into it. You know, and I love my wife, I love my family and friends, try to do for them, I pray for. But really, I was missing the mark because I wasn't giving God first place in my life. And I started noticing this pattern. One thing about the truth, this real truth, is it's something that the world cannot see. In John chapter 8, verses 32 and 34, it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you are free indeed." Now, the world today is in a situation because they don't know the truth. The truth, which is the Word is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God and became a flesh and dwelt among us. We haven't known the truth because we haven't grasped Him enough. And I want to make a challenge out to myself and to you this morning as a Christian, that you get a hold of this truth, that you get a hold of Jesus Christ, and you put Him in your heart and into your life, and you make a commitment today that you're going to live for Him. The one person that I could think of, well, there's a lot of people really, but one that really comes to my mind that lived the truth was Noah. Noah was given a task by God to build a boat because there was a great flood coming, and God gave Noah specific instructions, and Noah had faith in God, and he followed everything that God said to him. I mean, he dotted every I and crossed every T, and he made sure that he was walking in sync with God. When he started to build the boat, he didn't go to God and say, "Well, Lord, I think that I should change this or that because I saw a flaw in your design." Noah never did that. But how many times do we as Christian people, we'll be living for the Lord, and then all of a sudden, the devil puts an idea in our head and gets us mixed up and turned around, and then the devil starts saying, "Well, you could have had this or that. Maybe you ought to go back to God and talk to Him about it and see if He'll change it." And then we start going, "Well, now, Lord, if You would have only let me had this, if You would have let me marry that person, or if I could have had that job, things would be a lot better." If we would put ourselves in God's presence and say, "Lord, thank You for what I do have. Thank You for where You have put me. And I praise You and worship You because You are the truth of my life. There is no other power but You, and You're the one that I serve." And that's exactly what Noah did. Noah got laughed at. He got mocked and made fun of him because they had never seen rain. Never. Do you know how the earth was replenished back in those days? Does anybody know? Anybody want to shout it out? The earth was watered from underneath. There was had never been any rainfall. God took care of everything by watering from underneath the ground. And it wasn't until the day came, Noah finished the ark, and see, Noah and his family found favor with God because they walked in the truth and they lived for the Lord. They sought Him daily. So God put Noah and his family into the ark, and they had each kind of animal, two of each kind of animal, and put them safely on the ark. And I want to tell you this, because Noah followed God to His very commandment, God supplied every need that they would, you know, basically that they would have to have for the 40 days and 40 nights that it rained, and then they were on the ark for quite a while. I mean, God did everything according to how He said it should be, and Noah followed it. And when they got on the ark, God is the one who closed the door to that ark, and He sealed it shut, and He sealed them safely within. And because of that, Noah and his family were safe. And it wasn't until the first few drops of rain started to fall that then the people realized outside of the ark, it was too late. It was way too late. And then they started to bang on the side of the ark and they started to cry out to Noah, "Noah, save us." But he had been telling them and preaching to the people that the flood was coming. They thought he was crazy. And guess where we are today? We have Christian people who are telling the world that Jesus Christ is coming soon and that the end of time is near. We don't know the day or the hour, but we know Jesus is coming. He said He was, and I believe He is. I believe He's coming sooner than we think. But yet people today laugh and mock. And you know what's going to happen when the rapture of the church happens? When the trumpet sounds and God's people are taken out? Do you know what's going to happen? People are going to stand. I believe people are going to stand around in disbelief. And I believe there's going to be crying and wailing happening because they were told they didn't believe. And they got left behind because they never chose Jesus. They never chose the real truth to be the head of their life. The lost, see, they're in darkness. Acts 26:18 says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, that's our job as Christian people. We are to witness. That's what the disciples did. That's what Jesus did. Jesus had a ministry. The Father put him here to be our source, our guide, our teacher, that we would know how to live and do the things that he told us to do. And God gave us this purpose to go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, people are going to make fun of you. They're going to mock you just like they did Noah in the flood. They're going to say you're crazy. And then, you know what happens a lot? Christians get made fun of and they get mocked and then they start to feel humiliated and then they think, well, I don't like this, and so they start to stray away from the Lord. I want you to know this morning that if you stray away from the Lord, you're putting yourself in a very dangerous position. If you walk in God's commandments, and if you walk in God's words, and if you live for the Lord, His blessings will be upon you. You will go. Now, you can look a little bit forward in John chapter 14, and I've said this verse a lot. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So, we can follow God's commandments and live for Him, and we're still going to go through difficult times, but we will not lose the blessing. We will be under God's protection. God is our provider. He knows what you need in your life. So, if we're to be out there telling this dark world about Jesus, we're the light. And the light should shine from within us. See, God is light. In God, there is no darkness at all. And if there's light in Him, there should be light in us. If we say that we are Christian people, they should be able to look in our eyes and they should be able to see the love of the Lord shining out through our eyes. In us, there should be no darkness if we say we are of His light and love. I remember singing that song when I was a little kid. I didn't really understand it when I was little, but we'd sing this song called, This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine. And then we go, hide it under a bushel? No. Oh, I loved them days in Arkansas. Man, it was the best days when I was a kid, church. I loved them songs. And I tell you what, one of the greatest blessings I get is to fellowship with people. I do. I love people. And like I said, our men's breakfast last Saturday, man, we had a good time. And I love the men in this church. Well, I love the ladies too. I won't leave the ladies out. But I love the men in this church. And you know what I look forward to God doing with Bosque Dell? And I want to just kind of get off this for just a second. Bosque Dell Baptist Church has been sitting here since 1906. I'm sorry, I was a few years old. I was going to say 1896. Okay, 1906. So, Bosque Dell Baptist Church has been sitting here for a number of years. And I want to ask you a question. Has the doors ever closed? No. Has God ever drawn away His hand of blessing on this church? No. Has He always supplied the needs here? Yes. Look at the beautiful faces we have here this morning. And I'll honestly say this. I've had people say to me, they ain't nobody wants to go to them little country churches anymore because all they do is sing out of the songbook and the services are boring and dry. Wow. Well, they need to come here because I tell you what, when I open that songbook and I sing them hymnals, I don't need to, and I'm not making fun of nobody, but I'll say this. I don't have to run around a church and jump over the seats to have a good time. I don't have to do that. You know what I could do? I can come in here with an open heart, focusing on the Lord, and I can serve and praise Him how the Holy Spirit is leading me to do so, because when I draw from that, I tell you, I got everything I need. But too many churches today are focused on having the big praise band and all that stuff, and people get their emotions driven to a high. And you know what the sad thing is today? And this is true. You go to a lot of these big churches, they're being driven by the big praise bands, and boy, everybody likes it. Everybody dresses a certain way. Everybody's got a certain brand of clothing in that church, and they're all looking like it. And everybody associates with one another, but they don't associate with people outside of their own walls. But that emotional high gets driven, and they get out of church after the emotional high has happened. And then all of a sudden, soon as something negative comes along the way, they fall flat on their face because the preacher's not preaching the Word. And they weren't really seeking the Lord. Now, I'm not judging anybody. I'm telling you what I have seen from experience. Because this guy has experienced it. This guy has been there. This guy wanted to be in a big church. This guy wanted that kind of lifestyle. And it doesn't work. You know where I found how life works? My life works by getting into this Word and by reading it and studying it and dedicating my life to it and sharing it with those around me. So, back to Boscadale Church. What would you want to see God do here? Now, there's plenty of empty seats, and you know what I believe? I believe these seats could be filled. I believe that God can do anything with this church. I believe there are people that are out there looking for a church that will love them. I'm going to tell y'all something. I had never shared this. Now, I shared this with Effie. Just her and I were talking privately one Sunday. I said, I know why the Lord brought me here. I was in a place where a church just tore us up. They hated everything about us. I don't know why they wanted us, but they hurt us. And then I left there. I went to another church to fill in, and it was about the same thing there. Nobody wanted nothing to do. They just preach and go home. That's it. There's no reason to grow. And I started praying. I said, you know what, Lord? I ain't liking this. I want to make a difference. I want you to put me in a place where I can preach your Word, where I can be surrounded by people that love you, that I can love, and they'll love me. And you know what happened? This is no kidding. This was on a Sunday, and I was still working over here at Crane Funeral Home, whatever direction, Route 13, over that way. And I got off work one afternoon, I'm driving, and my phone rings, and I see this phone number, and I thought, it's probably one of them telemarketers. I ain't going to answer it. And I looked again, I thought. So I pulled the car over, or pulled my truck over, and I was sitting there, and I look at the phone number, and I hear the Lord tell me, answer it. That's for you. So I answered the phone, I said, hello. And I hear this voice on the other end, says, is this Brother Jim Cooper? Yes, ma'am. This is Effie Brimmer from Boscadale Baptist. I don't remember the rest of the conversation, but basically, she said, we got your name from, I can't remember who now. There's so many people giving my name out. And she said, wonder if you'd come preach for us. Yes, ma'am, I would love to. And we got, and I'll tell you what, from that moment on, I have been loved on, and I know that's why God sent me here. And I want you folks to know something. My heart has completely healed from the hurt. I almost quit the ministry here a while back, a couple years ago. I was ready to just toss in the towel. I can't take it anymore, Lord. And you know why? Because I had my eyes on people. I had my eyes on people, not God. And the darkness was starting to overtake my life. So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And those words ring so true. You cannot have a life. You can't live a Christian life and live outside of Jesus. You can't. You can't do it. You can't live outside of this word and call yourself justified. You can't. To say that I'm a Christian, to say that I love God, then it better come out of here. And it better be real, and it better be truthful. And like I said, I love people. I was telling Milton, I think it was last Saturday, we was having breakfast. And I told Milton, I said, you know what? I said, boy, I've seen God's blessings on me before, but I said, I think one of the greatest blessings I ever had, in 2003, November, I was asked to go preach in East St. Louis at 15th Street Baptist Church. And Milton says, I know right where that's at. And the reason that happened was our church at Marion, where I was attending, there's a little spell I wasn't preaching for, and I just was getting back with the Lord and just taking time off. And our church was going to East St. Louis, and we were street witnessing. We were going door to door and knocking and telling people about Jesus Christ and letting people know how much we loved them. And I told some people I was going to East St. Louis to preach, and they said, you're nuts. You're crazy. Do you know what they'll do to you up there? I said, absolutely nothing, because the Lord's with me. And I want you to know, I went to that church. I took the Ball Avenue exit and got up through there, and I found my way to 15th Street, and I parked my pickup truck. I told Milton, the preacher, hired a couple of men to watch my truck for me. He did. And they loved on me. I got so much hugs. I got 3 and 4 hugs by the time we left. And when I left that church, I was driving down the street, and there was guys walking the street that I knew was part of gangs, and I just wave at them like that. And you know what I got back? Either this or something, or, you know, thumbs up. Because God's blessing was on me. Now, if I went up there without the Lord's guidance and all that, it would have been a mess. But that day when I went up there and preached the word of the Lord, there were decisions made, and I mean the Lord moved in that Baptist church. I mean, we had church. I'll say this, and I'm going to close. There was a man in that church. He was 86 years old, and when the pastor took me up to him and introduced me, his fingers was all gnarled up with arthritis real bad. And when he told me the man's name, and I shook his hand easy, and that man had a grip. I was like, wow. And he said, this is our piano player. And in my mind, I thought, there ain't no way. Not with it. Really, looking at it from human side, like, there ain't no way he could play the piano. That man sat down at the piano, and he started playing. And I'm telling you what, the Spirit of the Lord moved through that man's playing. And my heart was brought to a place that it hadn't been in quite some time. And as he started to sing, and when Milton, for our first time heard Milton sing, boy, it reminded me so much of that, hit me here. I had tears rolling down my face. I told that man after church, I said, brother, I ain't never heard anybody play like that. But I said, man, you got an anointing on you. And when that service was over, I walked out of there knowing that the Lord had been present. Is the Lord present in your life? Is the Lord present in my life? I know He is. I looked some things over this morning. I did some praying. I got some things in order this morning. Because I believe Bosque Dell Baptist Church is going to grow. There ain't no praise band up here, and that don't need to be. I love Effie's playing. I love singing out of the hymn book. But what we need to do, Bosque Dell Baptist Church, is we need to make Jesus the real truth of our life. That's what we need.